بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. My dear respected brothers and sisters at home, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, عجبا لأمر المؤمن فَإِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَإِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءٌ شَكَرَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءٌ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ رواه مسلم. Imam Muslim relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the state of the believer, the situation of the believer, a believer in Allah, is very astonishing. And this can only be for a believer in Allah, a believer in an ultimate reality, in a creator, in someone who administrates and governs the affairs of the human beings and the entire creation that is around us. So the Prophet ﷺ said, this astonishing and this beautiful situation is only for a believer, which is that when something good happens to him, and this person thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is positive and beneficial for this person. And if something, a calamity arises, some kind of hurt reaches them, some kind of grief, some kind of problem, some kind of crime or whatever it may be, any kind of pain or grievance, and they do sabr, and they're patient, then that is good for them as well. Based on that, this is the hadith that I'm using to take us through this time that we're experiencing. I'm sure nobody's really had a very good last few days based on the news. It's not something you can ignore. It's very difficult to just kind of carry on with your work and think it doesn't apply to you as a Muslim. Whatever's happened in Woolwich and the murders, and it applies to all of us because it's unfortunately done in the name of Islam. And they actually hang around to tell people that this is Allahu Akbar. So essentially the word of Allah is being used with this gruesome murder. So it affects all of us because we call ourselves Muslim. It affects those who consider themselves practicing and righteous Muslims. It also concerns those that think themselves to just be Muslim by name or just be progressive Muslims or whatever they want to call themselves. So it affects all of us. It affects Islam itself, and that's what the whole point is that we want to deal with. First and foremost, everybody must know what I'm speaking about. So as a Muslim and an Imam, I have to say that we have to obviously condemn these acts done in the streets of London like that. We have to absolutely condemn them. And our condolences go with the families of those who've been affected by this. No doubt about that. And we do this sincerely. There's no doubt about that. We do this sincerely. Now, I just want to clarify, and I'd like whoever is listening to make sure they listen to the entire talk and not to just make judgments on one aspect or that, because this is a very difficult discussion to have. The reason is that we've got we've got many different persuasions and groups of people. Some who will consider this to be most Muslims will consider this to be totally uncalled for and totally wrong. Maybe called for, but totally wrong. Most Muslims would consider this to be absolutely wrong, a heinous crime, and so on. I mean, that's quite clear. However, there will be a group who will be looking at every lecture that a Muslim scholar gives and will want his lecture to be balanced, to be discussing all sides of the issue. If I'm to come to you today and just condemn these acts and not talk about anything else, then I'm going to be blind about it. I'm going to alienate a good amount of people, a decent group of people, because a lot of people have grievances. And when the murderer himself is sticking around, walking around after the act and trying to say why he did it, as foolish as that might seem, that cannot be denied that there's a link. They are separate issues though, but they are absolutely related. What I cannot understand is why politicians until today just refuse to acknowledge that there is a basis. The only people that seem to acknowledge this are the experts that seem to have retired. Retired from, you know, military service or from the spy services or from the security services. Only they then start voicing this thing. I don't want to take too much time on this, but for the mayor to go around and say that it's unrelated, the man is saying it himself, the killer is saying it himself, and how can you deny that? It's not right what they did. But the fact that there's a connection is no doubt. And that needs to be understood, and that will have a dramatic effect on the way Muslims deal with these issues, in the way Muslims view these issues. And if we continue to be blind about that and reject it, and there's a reason for rejecting that idea. Because there's benefit for the politicians to be gained by incursions in Muslim lands. That's why they're doing it. All these great amounts of money that are spent, there are huge amounts. I mean, these people are not silly and stupid people, right? These are not people off the street. These are people who've been elected for a reason. They're doing this for a reason, and they think it's justified. So they're doing this, and at the same time, they want things to be hunky-dory at home. And that's the problem. It's shown that despite what measures you're placing, unless you put a camera in everybody's room on everybody's head, it's going to be extremely difficult unless you change your policy not to have these kind of things happen. I pray to Allah they don't happen. Because it's not beneficial for us. None of this is beneficial for the Muslims. In fact, the Muslims do not gain in this one bit. Because after whatever's happened in the last several years, the Muslims who've committed acts, whether in America or 7-7 here, it's not been good for Muslims. There's no pleasure in traveling anymore. You're singled out. You're looked on as a terrorist. Yes, there's been many people who've become Muslims. But do you really think they became Muslims because of this? And they actually outnumber the number of people that could have become Muslim if this didn't happen? You have to realize that. We say that, okay, after September 11, this many people became Muslim. But we don't know how many people would have become Muslim if it hadn't happened. We would have had a better way to, we would have less explaining to do. We'd have less justification to make. And that's what we have to focus on. So the foreign policy is definitely a problem. I just want to get that out of the way first, before I tackle the other issue. Because I believe, and most Muslims believe, and in fact many other sensible people in the world will believe. I was listening to the radio, an older woman, she says, it's right what he's saying though. That, you know, this is how our women, how, you know, when he's saying that, this is how women in certain countries are feeling every day. They're being indiscriminately killed. Just like this man was, I don't know if they had a proper plan in place or not. Wallahu alam, Allah knows best, but it was wrong. It was wrong. So it is resonating with many, many people, but that's the problem. Why does that have to happen that way? Now, once I've mentioned this, there is a way to deal with grievances. And there are many ways to deal with grievances. The problem is that the very people that have the greatest of these grievances and are willing to go to such levels, they're the same kind of people that reject voting. That reject voting. They think it's haram, they think it's kufr to vote. That is one way to make a difference. The one thing that we have to be satisfied about with this country and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Because if you don't thank Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to give us any increase and enhancement in that. He'll take the ni'mah away from us. Maulana Tariq Jamil, he mentions over and over again, I've heard his lectures, he says that a country can run on kufr and shirk. Allah will allow that country, that ruling system to continue even on kufr and shirk. But He won't allow it to run on dhulm and oppression. Wherever there has been dhulm and oppression, the downfall has come. We're not trying to say that kufr and shirk is better than dhulm. They're both bad. But this is just the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world that you can see from observation. Where there is oppression and the adl and the justice that is supposed to be given to people is out, it's gone, then that's when that signals the demise of that ruling system. But kufr and shirk doesn't. It hasn't. There's been kufr and shirk throughout the entire history of the world. Except the few times when Adam alayhi salam, you know, the few few times. So we have to be thankful that at least in this country we've got this. The foreign policy definitely stinks. But why do you want to mess up the domestic policy? What are you going to get out of it? There are ways to get into trying to change people's ideas. And if you don't want to become part of that same political system that is legitimate, that is legal to do in the situation that we have, mark my words, in the situation that we have, and you don't want to take part in that, you don't even want to vote, never mind trying to become an MP and trying to convince people and persuade people and lobbying people and make a lobby group. No, you just want to do it differently. That doesn't work like that. This is a mentality I've discussed with people of this. They park on a double yellow. And you tell them, you can't park. He says, I don't follow the laws of the land. And I had to sit and explain to him that by you parking outside our masjid on the double yellow, they want to make this street into a red route. And we don't want that to happen because it'll make it extremely difficult for everybody that comes to salat and prayer and for the parents that come to drop their children off for masjid. By you parking on a double yellow line because you don't care for the rules of this, the laws of this land, how is it going to benefit anybody? You're just enjoying yourself. You're just doing it for selfish reasons because you don't have to walk that much extra. This is the mindset we're dealing with. It's just magnified on a higher level. It's a lot of rage that is being misdirected. That is being misdirected. As I said, they are linked issues, but they're totally separate. Who gives permission to go and kill a person on the streets? Imagine the effects of that. Imagine the harms of that. It's haram, it's not permissible anyway to start with. To kill a random man on the street. Imagine if people turned around and started going after our women. Muslim women, just because it was done in the name of Islam. And Allahu Akbar was taken at that place. What's that going to do for us? How has it benefited the Muslim? How will it benefit the Muslims? How far have you gotten to? Where did you get to? You've been shot. Where does that get you? These things have to be understood, that we condemn the acts clearly because they are wrong. It's not the way to go about these things. And it's this mindset that has to change. Now the other thing is, the media is playing a double role in this case. One is, you've got the perpetrators who start this off in this country. Obviously they're saying it starts off because of foreign policy. But then you've got the media that takes it and makes it a bigger deal. Why is it that it becomes a Muslim? Because it's a Muslim, it becomes terrorist. Just because they shouted Allahu Akbar. Yet there was another knife crimes, Hackney. We're not alien to that. We have the murder mile here. Where's all of the analysis? Where's all of the big discussion? Where's all of the hype about why it's happening? The youth that are doing this from the different backgrounds. Let's look at what's going on. Where's all of the big deal about that? What about our Muslim old man, 70 something years old in Birmingham, that just passed, that was killed, murdered, again knifed, just a few weeks ago? Why isn't there a big deal about that? And this is a big deal. This is a big deal. But why isn't both of these things a big deal? That's why what the problem with us Muslims is today is that we're sitting down doing nothing about it. We're not dealing with people who have these issues. Well, the problem is that I think we are dealing with it. I think we are dealing with this. Alhamdulillah, after 7/7, we haven't had a bigger problem. This was a very simple kind of really, it seems like a very ad hoc kind of thing that happened. But alhamdulillah, we've been able to deal with this. When the media keeps saying the Muslims need to, and certain individuals that keep saying the Muslims need to rein people in, they need to rein people in, what do you think we are? You think we have like a spy agency over every Muslim in this country? And we know what they're doing, so we have to say, hey, go and get that guy and stop him before he does anything? Every imam has a certain responsibility. The Muslims have a certain responsibility over their local area. We're doing our best, alhamdulillah. You're not seeing thousands of these things happening around. So why is it that we always have to respond to this and waste our time and upset our business? That's why I said this is a very difficult discussion. I hate when these things happen because they're not beneficial to us. It starts off by this rage. And then the media jump on it and make it worse. If you look for the word terrorism in the last 5 years, you will see it's always associated with Muslims. It's never associated with anybody else that does anything, even though the crime in itself will be worse. How many stabbings take place in England every year? Yeah, I know these guys were silly enough to stand around and, you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. La hawla wa la quwwata. May Allah guide us. May Allah guide everybody. But this is not the way to vent. Now, one thing you have to realize, just to put an understanding and an analysis of why these things happen. The reality behind this phenomenon is the same old human frailty. Why somebody will justify their actions that are absolutely wrong by the majority consensus of the Muslims. How they can justify that using religion, this is something that has dogged mankind for centuries. Every religion has it. Humans under pressure have a habit of concealing base urges and dark motives behind religiosity, because it's a very good justification to give. Or any outward display of piety. For example, when a mother tells a son, if a mother tells a son that he can hit the school bully back, you know, a kid is getting bullied, and the mom tells the kid that, you know what, hit him back. So now what this guy goes and does is, the son goes and obediently gouges his eyes out and breaks his legs, because his mom told him that you can hit him back. So he takes it in this selfish way and just goes the whole nine yards. How can you say that's justified? Well, let's just say a business owner sends out one of his workers to go and buy a dozen light bulbs. So what he does, he goes and does exactly that. He goes to the hardware store. He goes and buys that many bulbs of inferior quality. Doesn't have the best interests in mind. Buys the inferior quality. Says that it costs the amount of money that he was given and pockets the rest. That's just justification. This is exactly what's happening with these people. This is what they're doing. They're justifying in the name of something. So how can you blame a religion? How can you blame this mother? You know, a mother cannot talk about all eventualities. Similarly, Islam's pure orders in the hands of novices and certain political groups and certain people with a lot of emotion and rage, but not the proper understanding of how to deal with it, it will become open to abuse. Just like any other religion, it will become open to abuse. These people are generally driven by rage, hatred and frustration, rather than by Islam. Because if Islam was the driving force behind this, our entire history would have been dogged by this. Our last 100 years, you would have seen so many suicide bombings, you would have seen that Muslims just would not have been able to live anywhere because they would have been committing all of these things. But that is not the case. This is a rage that is very recent, and of course it has its basis in something, but it's unjustified to express that rage in this way and to take it to this extent. It's absolutely unjustified. That's why it's extremely difficult for the Muslims to neutralize this completely, because it's people. I know that one of the Mufti Rafi Uthmani, when he was asked about this in Pakistan, he said that such people who do this won't ever even listen to us. They don't even think that we are sheikhs, that we are even authorities. They think we're sold out. They think we're dunyawi, we're worldly, and we have no care for and even understanding of the real rights. So how are we supposed to do this? So people need to understand this. However, the action points, which is very important for us, at the end of the day, for all Muslims, this is a wake-up call. And we need to think about how to deal with these issues. Mainly in terms of how to get the media to stop making such a sensation about it. To help the politicians and encourage them to understand this correctly. And this can only be only happen through lobbying. Through becoming, unfortunately, part of the system, as much as you hate it and despise it. The system is not perfect, but it's the way to go. There is some level of justice. And there have been benefits for the Muslim community by Muslims lobbying for certain things. Otherwise, it would have been well worse off. I believe me, we are better off than even in America. We are better off than in many other countries, in Western countries. Because alhamdulillah, the Muslims, number one, they are religious. They are praying. And number two, they do take some part in it. Whereas other people are probably even more sleeping. Politics on its own is not going to work. Prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely important. But you need to use the ways of the world to deal with this, especially if you've agreed to live in this country and decided to settle here. And remember, unless we change ourselves and deal with this on our own, we can't expect the politicians, the media, the consultants that they call, the so-called Muslims that they always call, even though they blame them for being behind such people who committed such an act, that they are the instigators and the inspirers, and yet they still will call them to give him a voice. So what is this? Why call such people to give him a voice? Call some people from the mainstream Muslims that represent the majority of the Muslims in the country. Call only them. Why do you want the other voice to be heard? You're just playing into their hands. We have to take a collective duty. We have to make it a collective duty to explain what Islam is really. To everybody, to anybody and everybody, to your neighbors, to your co-workers. We don't do this. We don't even know how to give da'wah. The only thing, we don't even know how to give da'wah. We don't know even how to start the discussion with a non-Muslim, which is really a sad fact. I talk about myself. I find it difficult. And I'm sure most people do, to just start a discussion. We'd rather be like, okay, you stay on your kufr, lakum deenukum waliya deen. I'll stay on my iman and you stay on your kufr. That's not going to help us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. And again, I finally say again, that we totally condemn these attacks. There's no two ways about it. And do not conflate what I have said to mean that I would justify the attacks. But we have to say that the people in policy making really need to understand that there is deep roots to this. Right? The consequences are not justified, but there are deep roots to this. And you have to start looking at the picture of reality. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be good da'is, good representatives of the faith. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to wake up this time and to really do the right thing and to really show the beauty of our Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.